is the perfect package? Well, it could be anything.
This week, we'll be creating the perfect strip mall, the perfect school lunch, wedding guest list, the perfect fast food meal. We will be casting the perfect season of Big Brother using only Muppets.
Two hosts, five picks, one perfect package. Each episode is full of friendly debates.
Off, dude. Nobody wants that. You're not Mozart, bitch.
And very strong opinions.
You know I have no opinions. I just like things.
The Perfect Package Podcast, part of the Podfix Network. Visit p3show.com for more details.
Do you subscribe to at least one streaming service? Do you spend what seems like hours scrolling, trying to find something new to watch? Do you just wind up watching the same show for the 100th time? If so, you're not alone. Hi, I'm Andrew, the host of Podflix and Chill. On this podcast, I take a look at some original films and series from the most popular streaming services. I'll break down some of my favorites, uncover hidden gems, and even sit down with some guests. Podflix and Chill is a great way to discover your next favorite show or choose the next family movie night. Want more Podflix and Chill? Follow us on social at Podflix, the letter N, and Chill. Or check us out at www.podflixandchill.com. Podflix and Chill, now a part of the Podfix Network. Subscribe wherever you listen.
What's up, people? Welcome to Podfix Presents Pod 6. I am today's host, Andrew, of the Podflix and Chill podcast. And I am joined today by Chad Brockbader of the Perfect Package podcast, or the P3 show. What's up, Chad?
What up? What up? What up? What up? What up? What up?
I should also mention that you're, you know, the co-host of the Down to Folk podcast.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. One of the newest shows to the network and quite entertaining. I just listened to the clip that you submitted to the May mixtape, and that was hilarious.
Yeah, so, it's a thing.
Yeah. Now, did you come up with that story? Like, was that one that you had to come up with on the spot?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of, I'm not the writer of the group.
Okay.
But I do like some improv. So most of my stories, I just hit record and start talking, and then we'll piece together the parts that I like. And sometimes I have a concept and sometimes I don't. And there's a couple of episodes where it's one take of me just going, and you can always tell those because they're the longer ones, because I'll just, I get lonely and I like to talk. God bless working from home. Anyway.
Yeah, for real. Do you have any pets that you, have to deal with at home?
Oh my God. It's funny you should mention that. That's a great question. I have three dogs, three cats, a frog and a lizard and a fish, but that doesn't count because that's minimal maintenance. We also foster animals. We foster dogs, and we have two puppies right now that we picked up Saturday, and they'll be here for at least a week. And so now I have five dogs in the house, and two of them are yipe and little puppies that I have yet to throw out the window, but it's only Wednesday, so I would never throw them out the window. I mean, no. I would throw them out the window, but I'd open it first. I'm not a monster.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah.
They're cute. Thank God they're cute.
I can imagine. My wife and I got a kitten the day after Christmas. And he was only like 4 months old at the time. Or no, I'm sorry, 7 months old. Now he's a year. He was born on Star Wars Day, actually, as far as the animal shelter could tell us. But he apparently does not like when I podcast or post to my Instagram or anything, because several times he just starts meowing, and then he'll jump up into my lap or onto the desk and just like say hi to my guest.
Hello.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's derailed a couple of interview segments. He's even unplugged my audio setup in the middle of a podcast, which was
funny. That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. No, I keep my stuff on lockdown, so I haven't had to encounter that, but there have been a few times where it's, you know, they sing the song of their people in the background while I'm going, but I've got it soundproofed, and I think enough that it was barely noticeable, and I record like 10 copies of everything while I record, so I'm,
well, there you go.
So I found one that was clean and layered it over, and you'd never know. So
yeah, and I'm sure that's years in broadcast. You did broadcast stuff
yeah
before this,
yeah, right? Yeah, I got into radio because I played hooky from high school and would hang out with the local rock station morning show all the time, and yeah, and that just kind of sparked the bug, and it's been going ever since. So, and that's like, you know, circa 1990 ish so it's been a while.
Nice reference.
Yeah, man.
All right, so allegedly allegedly the concept of this show is that we interview each other six questions, or I interview you six questions, and then we just see where the conversation goes from there. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to come right at you with the heavy hitting questions.
Nice.
The stuff that people want to know. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's still that was beautiful. Caught me for a loop, but so what is something that people are obsessed with but you just don't get the point of?
Currently TikTok. I don't know if it's just because I'm an old man, but I can't figure it out. It's cute, it's funny. Maybe I need Chris DeVos to show me what's up, because that's all he posts is TikTok videos. But no, I mean, I get on there and I'll start scrolling and looking at stuff, and I think it's funny. There's some funny stuff on there. But as far as how they do it, I don't know. It just makes my stepkids look like they have a seizure all the time, because they just walk around doing these random dances that just with no camera on them. They just start twitching. Like, I'm like, what are you doing? It's a TikTok dance. No, it's not.
Yeah, that's something that has eluded me too. And my day job is like marketing. Mm. So everything's like, you know, oh, let's try to stay on top of the trends. And I'm just like, I don't know how TikTok works.
TikTok and Snapchat. And I can't figure out either of them.
I send Snapchats to my friends, but like as far as like how people get like featured on like the Discovery tab and all that stuff, I'm just like, don't care. And you know, the video editing and skills that have to go into, like, why waste 2 hours of your life to film a video that you're gonna boil down to like less than 60 seconds? Mm-hmm. It's a nonsense to me. I don't know.
I don't get TikTok. I really don't get TikTok.
Yeah. Until your company tells you, hey, you have to get TikTok and you have to start using.
You got to do the TikTok.
Right.
It's like, can't we do the tweeters instead? I mean, it's.
Right. Well, I don't even get that. I posted a poll the other day and I got like two responses from it. And that's actually going to be one of the questions I ask you a little bit later.
Oh.
But yeah, it's just like, you got to be on social media in general. I just feel like you got to be on it constantly to get any sort of like return.
Oh, absolutely.
On, and it's like, do I really want to do this?
Oh yeah.
But it's a necessary evil.
Yeah. But, and unless you're willing to, you know, pay to play, just, you have two options. You can either bankroll a bunch of ads, or you can live on social media. That's your two game plans there. So yeah. I'm somewhere in the middle. I am not investing money, nor am I spending my life on social media, which means I'm pretty much just like everyone else.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah, it felt really weird I took about 2 months off of social media and about like a month. Well, it will be like a month and a half now off from the show while I was going through like wedding prep and like actual getting married.
By the way, congratulations on that.
Thank you. Yeah, Keith and Adam were talking about it on the last Pod 6 episode. They were like, man down, we lost another one. And yeah, they're right. They lost me. No,
it's fine.
But
it's fine.
By the way, Keith, my wife is very on board with my podcasting. So, you know, just had to clear the air. She hasn't listened to a single episode, but she's on board with it.
I had my wife on my show once.
How'd that go?
Once.
That's why she hasn't been back for a second.
No, it was a great episode. It spawned a t-shirt and it was fun, but people that podcasts are a breed.
Yes.
And my wife is very funny and is good at making people laugh, but that's her end game goal and there's no give and take. So it's just her trying to power through making everybody laugh. And it's like, you know, you get a couple other people here that need to bring the funny too. So,
yeah, I got that. That's,
yeah,
that's,
that was my nice way of saying she talked too much.
She's totally not going to listen to this. And she's not going to listen to this. So it's okay. I can say that.
Yeah.
But yeah, she, sometimes she won't pick up on the cues of me sitting there like, you've said the same thing already. Right. that's great. Yeah. Another thing I can't get behind that everybody else seems to be obsessed with in like the streaming world is Handmaid's Tale on Hulu. Like everybody is like obsessed with it.
It's interesting. So I'm not opposed to it, but it's not my cup of tea.
Okay.
I'm going to lose my guy card here. No. Watching, like, I don't know. I don't know like the best way. It's like, there's certain things in that show that I can't, that don't sit well with me. I can watch, my favorite film franchise of all time is Saw. I'm team Saw all the day. So gore violence don't bother me at all. I am a self-proclaimed death hag. I love blood and gore. I can't do watching movies that deal with outright infidelity and just people cheating. It makes me sick. I don't know why.
Okay.
And Handmaid's Tale is just, it gets under my skin and it drives me insane. It's good if I can fast forward through all those parts,
you know, right.
Which is 90% of it. But I told my wife, I said, this show's not for me. She wants me to watch it with her. Like, hey, let's watch the next season of Handmaid's Tale. And I'm like, let's not. I mean, you can, but I don't watch it. I don't make you watch my boy shows, as she calls them, all the superhero shows.
Love it.
Don't make me watch your girl shows, because it's like, that's like the television equivalent of like going to an Alanis Morissette concert as a guy. You know, so it's like, you're not welcome there. So just no. I'm with you though on Handmaid's Tale. No, I can't do it.
Yeah, I can't either. I was the same way with Stranger Things though. Like, I'm not
never made it through the first season.
I didn't watch an episode.
Yeah,
and it doesn't appeal to me.
And hate Walking Dead.
Yep, I made it to season 3 of that before I stopped.
Exactly.
I don't care.
Yeah, but it came off of me like binging Breaking Bad and then going right into Walking Dead. There's no comparison there.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, although Breaking Bad is still a show that I need to finish, but what I have seen is pretty good.
Yeah.
And everybody rides me for that too, because it's like, it's only what, 60 episodes? Like, the seasons aren't that long. So it's like, just finish it.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I will. But anyway.
Anyway. What were we talking about? So, oh, yeah, TikTok. Go ahead.
Well, I got nothing else to say about TikTok. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it unless a job ties me down and says, hey, do it.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, I'm going to have to seriously consider my future employment. But yeah, so moving on. Question 2, and this is the one I put up on my Twitter yesterday.
Okay.
So, Nicolas Cage, love him or hate him, and why?
It's a good,
I see the wheels turning.
It's I have nothing against Nicolas Cage. I don't love him. I don't hate him. But there's got to be a but in there. I can't name one movie with Nicolas Cage that's really, really good because Nick Cage is in it. Every good movie with Nicolas Cage in it is because of the other people that are in it.
That's fair.
Con Air.
You could be a politician there.
Yeah. Con Air is a great movie. It ain't Nick Fantastic Cage. Film. It's John Cusack and John Malkovich.
Yeah.
You know, throw anything at any movie that Nick Cage is in, and I'll tell you, the supporting cast is better than Nick Cage.
Yeah. Do you think he, like, there's memes going around that, you know, he'll just sign any check. Like, he just wants to cash in check, so he'll sign any contract.
Oh, God, yes. Yes.
What was that that film that came out last year, I think, or maybe even earlier this year? It was like him trapped in like these weird like Chuck E. Cheese style.
Oh my God!
Fun houses.
I never watched that one. I was thinking, what was the other one that he did that was like it was like a girl's name, but anyway, it was the horror-ish movie. But yeah, it was. Oh God, it's just there's not. There are bad Nicolas Cage movies, and they're not bad because he's in it. They're just bad movies. Now, Dave from Perfect Package Podcast would be an excellent person to ask that question too, because he loves bad movies and he loves him some Nick Cage, but that's because he loves bad movies.
Yeah, I was going to say that you can't have a conversation about one without the other.
So.
And there was another too preview that I had seen for a movie he was in called Jiu-Jitsu, which the name automatically appeals to me because, you know, I have a little bit of a background in martial arts. But when you look at the cast where they're actual martial artists, and then you have Nick Cage, who is the leader of said martial artists. And he plays like the wizened old warrior wielding a katana. And I'm just like, dude, who picked Nick Cage for this role? It looked like a cross between a samurai and like Raiden from Mortal Kombat, because he had the big giant Raiden hat and he's just like wielding a sword.
See, I put Nick Cage in the same, not really the same field, but at least adjacent to like Keanu Reeves, who is in really good movies. And a lot of his movies should be horrible, but they're good because Keanu Reeves is in it. And it's not because of his acting, because he sucks as an actor.
Whoa.
There is no spoon. But some of the, you know, dog shit movies that he's put out, it's like, this shouldn't be good, but damn, it's good. And I'm not sure. Now, full disclosure, I've still never seen any of the John Wick movies, and I want to so bad. But it's like, they're never streaming. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, I wound up biting the bullet, and I think I bought them through iTunes, but I bought them only to watch the third one because I'd found one and two somewhere. I think I watched one and two on a plane maybe for free. They're fantastic films. Again, not, I wouldn't say necessarily because of Keanu's acting, but the attention to detail that he put into the stunt work that he did was unreal. Like, he would... actually, on Podflix and Chill, I talked to a fight coordinator for the Netflix film Extraction with Chris Hemsworth, and he actually got to train with Keanu during John Wick 3 because he was in that. And he said, you know, Keanu's putting in like 8 hours a day, like nonstop, 5 days a week, doing jiu-jitsu practice, you know, going to the firing range and learning how to like speed load and unload guns. And all this crazy nonsense, and it comes across. I mean, he did a lot of stunts, his own stunts in the film. So I think that speaks volumes of how good those films are versus his acting.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's just because he's like a real flat actor. There's no real depth to him acting. And the flip side of that is Nick Cage, who I don't know how he looks as good as he does because he is on a strict diet of scenery. And because that's all he does is eat the scenery. And it's like, oh my gosh, man, I don't know how he does it, but
yeah,
he's had a long career and good for him.
Yeah. So it's where success is where luck meets opportunity. Mm. And I guess those two have bounds of luck.
Yeah.
All right. So serious question. Do you count your steps?
No, I don't.
No.
I don't.
Any particular reason why?
No, I got the Apple Watch that is not on my wrist today because I sit on my ass all day. Why bother? All it does is tell me to breathe.
Right.
Every 10
or to stand
minutes,
up.
It's like, you need to breathe. You need to stand up.
Yeah. I had a lady in Target said, talking about her Apple Watch, you know, because cashiers decide to start randomly telling you their life story when you're trying to just pay and go. And she's like, my Apple Watch tells me what to do more than my kids do. Thanks. And then 2 weeks later, I bought one because my Fitbit broke. So.
Now, I've never been a step counter. My wife was, and so she made me because she's like, it was the competition in it. And I was like, fine. Yeah. You know, and of course she starts it when I start working from home. It's like, let's compete in our steps. And I'm like, you work all day and I sit all day.
Right. There's not really a fair trade-off.
No.
Yeah. It's one of those things where like I do it and I kind of hate that I do it sometimes because there are days where, you know, I'm sedentary most of the day. Mm-hmm. So when I look down at my, you know, either when it was the Fitbit, it was the step count. When it's the Apple Watch, it's the rings. And I'm just like, man, I feel like a piece of shit today for not doing it, you know, not getting it done.
The ring thing. I've closed all three rings. I could probably count them on one hand since I've had my Apple Watch. And it's like, if I have my watch on and mow the lawn, I will close all three rings that day. And two trips that I did to an amusement park with my Apple Watch. Hershey Park and Busch Gardens have closed all three rings. So
yeah,
there you go.
I got it right before the honeymoon. Mm. And the day before we were getting ready to leave, a buddy of mine, because you can send competitions
like
the week long. So he sends me a competition and I'm like, dude, this is totally not fair. Like you're sending it the day before I leave where I'm going to be sitting on a plane for 10 plus hours and you're going to have a full day to get in front of me on this competition. So the day before the plane ride, we went to Diamond Head and rather than catch a lift there, cause it was only a 10 minute car ride, we walked from our hotel to Diamond Head, which was a 45-minute walk, then did like the 2-hour hike at Diamond Head, and then walked the 45 minutes back. So I think in that day, we walked over like close to 4 miles, and I closed the rings multiple times, and I just like, I wound up winning the week just because of that. I'm like, all right, if you're going to be a dick, then I'm going to get as much of a head start on this competition as I can.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Here's another random one for you. So this one's I actually grabbed from the shared doc on the Podfix folder here. So if you have access to a DeLorean with a flux capacitor and you have enough open road to get to 88 miles an hour, where are you going and what's the first thing you're doing when you get there?
Damn. If I could go anywhere in time, we'll flip it to that. I would want to go back to the Old West.
Okay.
I love the Old West. I love good Westerns. And I would love to go back to the Old West and I would like to meet, I would like to meet some notorious figure from the Old West, Billy the Kid, something like that. Just somebody that's not going to shoot me in the face, hopefully. but yeah, that's what I would do. And I would go into a bar and just order whiskey, where you can just, yeah, give me a whiskey. And then just throw like a random coin on the bar, and that pays for it.
I like that. That's very, you know, Back to the Future 3.
Yeah. There. Yeah. Yeah. I would go to Back to the Future 3.
Nice. Yeah. I was going to say, when you started to say notorious figure, I was like, Buford Mad Dog Tannen.
Yes. Yes.
Make you dance. You know, it's not going to shoot you in the face. Yeah, it's funny. I posed that question, and I don't really have an answer myself. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of different time periods that appeal to me. Feudal Japan, you know, we were talking about samurai a little while ago. I would be really interested to see the Roaring Twenties as well. You know, and then get out of there right before the Depression happens, because it's depressing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it would be cool to see like those big historical events firsthand. Like, yeah. You know, if it wasn't a DeLorean that I had to get up to 88 miles an hour, if I could just dip in and dip out wherever I wanted on in time, mm-hmm. I would totally go to the Titanic just to be there, yeah, just be cool. To see it, you know?
Yeah.
That would
I was
be
thinking Pompeii. Dope. I'd be really,
oh, Pompeii
like,
would
I
be would, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, man, that's cool. All right, that's cool. I like that. That's a cool question.
Yeah, I was glad I found that one.
Yeah, that is a cool question.
This one, I'm kind of, I thought of right before the show.
Okay.
So, it's a two-parter. First part is, do you play any musical instruments?
I do. Well,
okay, what
no.
do you play?
No, I do. I play bass guitar.
Okay.
And I've been in a 90s cover band for 10, 11 years now. Okay.
Do you guys play any Alanis Morissette?
No, we don't. But we do Britney. I said do. We do play Britney Spears.
I love it.
It's a retired paramedic is our singer, so he's over the age of 50, which makes it fun to have someone over the age of 50 singing Britney Spears and Shawn Mendes, which is dope as hell. But anyway, our guitar player is an emergency room doctor, and me and our drummer we're on a break. Our drummer's wife just had a baby. But
awesome.
Our drummer is an IT guy. I'm an IT guy. And I used to be an X-ray tech in a past life. But that's how I met the other two, because we worked in the hospital together. And then I went to IT like 5-6 years ago. And I brought in our drummer, who's like just turned 30? Sorry, Ryan, don't listen to this. I think he just turned 30. So we've got like a young, we've got these older guys that are, I'm like the rock and metal guy. And then these older guys that are like James Taylor, and I want to play, you know, the Doobie Brothers and Toto and stuff like that. And I'm like, let's do hair bands. Let's do, you know, this and that.
Yeah.
You know? And then Ryan comes in, and he's like, his drumming idol is Travis Barker. So we've got all these different genres coming together. And then we've got a drummer that plays loud and fast, like he's in Blink 182. So it really changed the dynamic of the band. And so now we do like Fall Out Boy and stuff like that. Before it was like Matchbox 20 and Goo Goo Dolls. Right. And now we're doing Matchbox or, you know, Fall Out Boy and just like a lot more upbeat, fun stuff now. And it's a lot of fun. But they are all located in Delaware. I'm right on the border of Maryland and Delaware. So we play down at the beach a lot. too. So it's a, we're just your typical cover band that you would hear at the beach, but it's a bunch of old guys. So we're not very marketable. We're not the young guys that all the girls want to throw their panties at. So we get
the older clubs.
I
tend to like the older cover bands though.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just cause you know, I'm starting that journey now, but, yeah, because, you know, when you play something from the 90s, like a Goo Goo Dolls or Matchbox 20, mm-hmm. like that's a song that you grew up listening to, or, you know, you heard in your early, you know, teen 20s, 30s, yeah. whatever the case might be. So you have like an emotional attachment to that song versus, you know, Ryan,
yeah.
who might be hearing the song for the first time. Ryan, yeah. I'm sorry. I don't know you, but I don't mean to.
Well, what's funny about it is it's cool bar music to play those things like Matchbox 20, anything from like the late 90s, because that's the crowd right now that are just turning 21.
Right.
And so the people that are just turning 21, they're listening to the music that their parents listened to growing up, which makes me sick because this is like, you know, post college for me.
Right.
I mean, I grew up in the heyday of, you know, big hair bands like Poison and Twisted Sister and stuff like that. And then to, you know, and then I flip though. I claim 90s music more than I do 80s music. I'm a huge 90s fan of all music and movies, and everything was all 90s for me, except for Friends.
So you won't be watching the Friends reunion?
I will 100% be watching it because my wife is a huge Friends fan. We got engaged on the set of Friends.
Stop, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's a story you have to tell.
Yeah. Well, I knew people that worked at Warner Brothers, and I knew that they had the set there in their back lot. The Central Perk set is what I'm talking about. And I had gone out. I have a friend that does editing, and he was editing The Walking Dead.
He must not done that good of a job if he couldn't hook you.
Yeah. So he was doing sound editing. He was actually he was the guy running the board for the Foley artist the day I went out there to see him. It was pretty cool.
Okay.
But anyway, I went out to see him and I said, hey, this was actually like a year before I met my wife. And I said, can we go check out like the warehouse? You know, the warehouses. And so we went to like the prop warehouse and we saw this cool stuff. That's how I knew they were doing a new Sinister movie, because there were post-it notes on all this furniture that was for the new Sinister movie. I was like, oh damn.
That's awesome.
But it was really cool. Cause like you get to see like these pieces, these iconic pieces from film that, and TV shows even that, they don't get rid of because they're so iconic. Now, a fun thing about Warner Brothers versus Universal, Warner Brothers will get rid of their iconic, like physical locations, okay. if they're too identifiable. Like they filmed the TV show ER on their back lot, and everybody knew that this was where the ambulances pulled in for ER, making that area unusable. So they completely gutted it and changed it so it doesn't look like it anymore. You go to Universal, you can still see the little courtyard that they used for all the black and white monster movies. It still looks the same. It's right around the corner from the Bates Motel. But anyway, I could talk movie history for days. But anyway, so I talked to him and we went and looked, and he said, do you want to see the Friends set? And I said, not really, but sure. And so we went and we looked, and they offer VIP tours there. And it was one of the things, if you paid for the upgraded VIP tour, they would take you and let you get your pictures taken in the Central Perk set. So I was like, oh, that's awesome. Then when I met my wife, or now my girlfriend, and we were going to get engaged, we were going to head out to California. And I said, oh shit, we should get engaged at the Friends set. She would lose her mind. So yeah. I called Chad. He's also a Chad. And I said, dude, actually, he used to be a postman. So I actually call him Cliff. Cheers reference there. But I was like, Cliffy, I want to get engaged on the Friends set. Can you make that happen? And he said, no. I was like, oh, why? They just tore it down. I was like, what? they're moving it to a museum on the back lot and anybody can go to it now. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So we went and it was in a museum and we got engaged there and I got pictures. It's cute, but,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a really neat story.
Yeah. Like so yeah, we got engaged on the couch at Central Park and then got pictures taken of us. And I look fat as hell. Cause I was like, you know, almost 100 pounds ago for me. So, but, and I'm in short, you know, like shorts and a t-shirt because we're on vacation. Who cares?
Yeah.
You don't get all
now, did she see it coming? Did she see the engagement coming at all?
No. She knew something was going to happen because she has anxiety. And if I don't tell her something's going to happen, she would have lost her mind. Okay.
That's fair. I know what that's like.
I was like, okay, something's going to happen while we're here and we're going to see something that you've always wanted to see. And it was cool. I managed to keep the whole trip a surprise. We went to Universal, we went to Warner Brothers, and we got to see all this cool stuff. But I wouldn't tell her what we were doing until the day of. So it was like we would eat breakfast in the hotel. And then while we were eating breakfast, I would hand her an envelope and it's like, this is today's adventure, that kind of thing. So we threw out Warner Brothers. And then that night got ruined because that was the that was the election day of 2016. And she just sat up all night crying as the results came in. But anyway.
She wasn't alone there.
Yeah, a lot of people. And then we went to Universal the next day. And Doc Brown told us, speaking of DeLoreans, Doc Brown told us that Bernie Sanders stole his DeLorean and got the hell out of there. Direct quote.
That's
because my wife had never seen Back to the Future at that point and saw Doc Brown and said, are you Bernie Sanders? And he's like, no. He's like, Bernie took the DeLorean and got the hell out of here. And she had no idea what that meant, but I thought it was amazing.
That's perfect. Does your wife like watch a lot of or not watch a lot of like iconic stuff? Like Back to the Future.
Yeah. I mean, she likes what she likes.
Okay.
She binge watches Friends all the time. And then when she's done watching Friends, she'll watch Friends again. And then she switched over to The Office. And then when she got done with The Office, she watched Breaking Bad. And when she watched when she was done with Breaking Bad, she watched Friends again. And when she was done with Friends, she watched The Office again. And then she found Schitt's Creek and we're on our second time through Schitt's Creek now.
Yeah, everybody says good things about that. I haven't watched it yet.
That's another great one. That's definitely a bingeable. Okay. And it's good. It's well written and it's mindless. It's a good, I'm going to bed in one.
Okay. So yeah, that's the Office for me. I can't count how many times I've watched that. But my wife does not like watching TV, movies, anything like that. She just, I don't think she has the attention span for it. It took until like this past holiday for her to finally sit down and watch both seasons of The Mandalorian. We stopped The Office somewhere mid season 3, beginning of season 4 for her. And we haven't revisited it since. She feels like she's wasting time and that she needs to be doing something else. So
I get that.
Yeah. Well, that's how Podflix and Chill was born because, you know, I couldn't talk to anything. I couldn't talk to her about any of the shows I was watching. So I just decided to talk to myself.
So let me flip this around on you as the Podflix and Chill guy. What's your binge? What's your favorite show to binge? Or which one do you enjoy to binging? Or just what are you tackling right now?
Right now, I'm tackling Letterkenny on Hulu because it's a single camera show. Mm-hmm. and it's a lot of static shots, but it's very similar to The Office, and they break the fourth wall a number of times, but you don't, like, the whole time I'm watching the show, I'm like, okay, are they aware they're being filmed, or like, are they just that ridiculous, or am I thinking into this too much? But it's basically about this small town in Letterkenny, Ontario, Canada, that there's three types of people that live in the town: hicks, skids, and hockey players. And it's basically just about their interactions with each other. And it's possibly one of the funniest shows I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah, it's only about, let's see, they just started their ninth season, but they only started it back in like 2015, 2016. So they're only like 6 or 7 episode seasons. But they're just hilarious. It took me a while to actually understand it, because in addition to like the Canadian accents, you're talking like all this slang and vocabulary. I'm just like, wait, what? Like a couple of the episodes I watched with subtitles, or like had to look up what is this
slang
term?
What are they talking about?
Right. But that's what I'm working my way through now, and it's one of the greatest shows, hands down. But yeah, before they took it off Netflix, it was The Office for me, just over and over again. I love The Office. I love the fact that they brought in Brian Baumgartner for the Bush's Beans Super Bowl commercial with the chili, because it's like one of the best scenes from The Office.
Letterkenny, I've been told to watch and haven't yet. So maybe I should do that. This will be, this is great. Never mind. I'll send it to you later. I'll send you the Central Perk picture. I just found it.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Anyway. Yeah.
Awesome. So the follow up to the music question was that was a cool tangent. I liked that one.
Yeah.
But if you could play any instrument, like time, practice, nothing like that was a factor, if you could just like be able to pick up an instrument and play an instrument, what would it be and why?
I'm gonna cheat on this. I would want to play guitar.
Okay.
But if I played guitar, I would want to be able to sing also. So more so, I want to be the singer of a band.
Gotcha.
And I did twice in my life get to live that fantasy of singing on stage like a rock star. And it both times was the same band, good friends of mine, Facebook friends with most of them still, but now they're in Europe and won't come back to America because there's no money over here for bands. Sorry, tangent. Anyway, two occasions I've gone on stage and sang with Ugly Kid Joe.
Okay.
So for those of you that don't know, they're the ones that sang Everything About You from 1992. They are still very much a band, and my top two bands of all time. It's cool, like running into them, and they'll be like, you know, it's like back when they would still play in the States. I would see them in town, and I would go to the show and push my way up front, and they would notice me and pull me up on stage, and I'd get to sing. Really cool. So it was a lot of fun. But yeah, I knew them. I knew them right when they were coming up in California, and good guys, and still friends. And in fact, this shirt that I'm wearing right now is a design from their guitar player, Klaus. He has whole shop on I think it's Threadless, but it's one of those. But anyway, yeah, he's got a whole shop of shirts like this, and I've got every single one of them because he used to wear them on stage and make them on his own, and now that they have print and demand stuff, he started mass making them. So
I like that. It kind of defeats the purpose of interns for the shirts.
Yeah.
was that from that mixtape episode, Two Girls on a Bench. I laughed out loud at those different t-shirt ideas. They were so funny.
Yeah. Down to Folk, we just sold two shirts, and they're the most ridiculous designs in the history of the world. And because they're complete inside jokes, and if you don't listen to the show on a regular basis, you will have no idea what they mean. But it's like, but two people bought the shirts, so it's two people that obviously listen enough to understand what the joke is.
Right.
But yeah, one's one that just says humble AF, and the other one is a picture of an eggplant, and it says DTF.
Yes.
But yeah, so it's like, yeah, great. Eggplant. Awesome. Yeah. Love it. That's what that whole show's based on, though, is inside jokes. But anyway.
Yeah. Inside jokes and like incest. Well, not incest, because you said you don't
creepy,
like
creepy, rapey vibes.
Euphemism. Euphemism.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, cool. So leading into the final question. What would you do if you were invisible for a day?
Oh, God, I would be I'd get in so much trouble.
Only if they knew it was you afterwards.
Yeah, only if they knew it was me afterwards. This is such a nerd answer, but I would sneak onto the set of whatever big blockbuster they are filming and watch them film a movie.
That would be really cool.
I love that stuff so bad. I wouldn't do anything nefarious. I mean, yeah, I might rob a bank, but I'm not going to say that this is on, you know, this is recorded. I'm not saying I'm robbing a bank, but, you know, if I was invisible, I totally. Yeah. I mean, if I was invisible, which that would never happen, but if I was, I would totally rob a bank. But I'm not, and I never will be. So you can't prove that. But no, I would like sneak into, you know, the new Mandalorian season and watch them film in the dome, or watch them film in, you know, Ask Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever's going on over there. that would be so cool, you know, but yeah, I love behind the scenes. So I would love to see them actually filming on the dome that they use for, Mandalorian.
That dome is something else. That's so cool.
If nobody knows what we're talking about, watch behind the scenes stuff, and that's your takeaway today.
I like that. And then did you see the meme that was floating around? And I think people like actually thought this was like legitimate. The behind the scenes doc that they did for Falcon and the Winter Soldier on Disney Plus. Sebastian Stan at one point is like doing his like superhero landing pose with Cap's shield, and it's like actually bouncing off of the concrete floor. And they're like, oh, like it's a blooper, like he had a rubber shield. And I'm like, no, it was probably just for the stunt, like just for the stunt performance. Like they probably fixed it in post-production,
and it was probably a rubber mat that he landed on.
right.
So although everything bounced.
You can see the rubber mat that that Tom Cruise lands on in Mission Impossible Fallout during that bathroom fight scene.
That's awesome.
Every time I watch that fight scene now, I'm like, and there it is right there.
Another good movie blooper is, I think, I want to say, since you said martial arts, I think, don't quote me on this, I know it's really bad in Under Siege, but if you go back and watch Steven Seagal fight scenes, he films them in slow motion and then they play them back at full speed or at a higher speed.
I'm not surprised.
And in Under Siege, there's a fight in a kitchen because he's a chef. And and like a bunch of stuff gets knocked off a shelf and it like falls super fast while they're fighting at normal speed.
Oh, I'm going to have to go and
look it's amazing. That
up immediately.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love stuff amazing. Like that.
Awesome. Well, Chad, again, I appreciate you taking the time out to chat with me.
Yeah, man.
Chatting with Chad.
That Chatting with Chad.
The episode title there, Keith.
Weekdays on Fox. Oh, sorry.
But you guys can check him out as part of the P3 show, the Perfect Package Podcast.
Yep.
And Down to Folk.
Down
DTF,
to Folk.
DTF.
Yep.
All right here on the fabulous PodFix Network.
All of it.
Artist owned and loved, right?
Right. Sounds filthy.
All right. Well, thank you again. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Yeah.
And good luck with this next month.
Thanks, man.
All right. We'll see you guys later.
You've been listening to a podcast of the PodFix Network. Discover more audible gems like this at podfixnetwork.com. Make sure to catch up-to-the-minute network shenanigans by following at PodFix on Twitter, official_PodFix on Instagram, at PodFix Network on Facebook. And make sure to subscribe to PodFix Presents wherever you choose to find podcasts. The PodFix Network, artist owned and loved.
Folklore.
Fairy tales.
Legends.
These are traditions from time immemorial, passed from generation to generation. They explain the unknown. They warn against danger. They guide our moral fiber, instilling in us a sense of purpose and goodness.
These tales are central to our very being, reminding us that we're one and the same.
There is a magic in these stories. So we want to bring these tales to you, to take you into the fold. You'll learn. You'll grow.
And the best part? We're making it all up.
That's right. We're completely full of shit.
Join us for Down to Folk at DTF Stories across all social media, dtfstories.com, and wherever podcasts are found.